Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, those runny buggers.
Gotta love the claps, the 80s synth claps. Amazing.
That's good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Welcome, everybody, to the Hat Chat podcast, episode 90,
Whoa.
The big 90.
Jeez.
That's right. This podcast is almost a centennial. We're 10 away.
Mm-hmm.
10 away from that.
Oh, nice.
I'm sure we've reached that before.
Well, let's find out what 90-year anniversary would be. What is
100 podcast episodes?
100 podcast episodes,
run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of our previous run.
Right. I don't know if we did. Honestly, I don't think we did.
Did we not? Have we overtaken?
I don't think, because we didn't do it as frequently, did we? We used to do them like monthly, then fortnightly, and then there was a big gap.
Scattered.
Then this is the most consistent we've been.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And saying that, who are we even? You're jumping in at episode 90 and we're just rambling on. Well, who am I? I'm Chris Trott.
Oh, hi, Chris Trott. I'm Ross Hornby.
Mm. I'm Alex Smith. In a response to my own question, a 90-year anniversary is stone.
Stone?
That's just kind of bland,
like,
isn't
it? Stone, but it's just hard as stone. Apparently, there was a couple from India. One of them lived to be 110.
Yeah.
Imagine living to 110.
Did they look pretty withered at the end, or were they all right?
I can't imagine they looked...
Sprightly.
Because
there are some
that are
in the hundreds who
Sexy?
Are just... I'll be honest... You know,
doable.
You'd have to pry. Yeah, you know, I'm glad they're at a distance because, my goodness.
Oh, right.
Hello.
I thought it was the other way, where it's like, you know what?
What they're getting at.
Not bad.
Oh,
not bad at all.
The banging.
No, but like in terms of sprightly, actually, you know, walking around, doing stuff and, you know, being active, that's pretty good in your hundreds.
That's
I would imagine I'd be like just kind of, like, you know, the guy in, not in between us, Indiana Jones. Where he drinks from the wrong cup and his
different.
Face shrivels up and you can basically, obviously goes to a skeleton and dust in the end, but like there's
that
a stage in that where he's
kid,
got
yeah.
like basically completely sunken in eyes and his skin is like, you know, completely to his bones. That's how I imagine I would be at 100 and withered and sunken in chair and just kind of waiting
wrong
for the
cup,
end.
Wanker.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, that might not be the case because I've seen a couple of things recently about how Bezos, obviously, to complete the dystopic hellscape of a future, he's just bought a company that's looking into stopping aging. And
nice, okay.
Equally,
and one of the billionaires is going
to
do it, weren't
yeah,
they, really?
And the
I
20,
want to be immortal.
Gonna have to be killing his goddamn horcruxes by the end of the 20s. The other thing is apparently 20 years or so, again, this is something that has to be taken with a pinch of salt, but there's been a couple of things out recently about how 20 years we're probably going to be able to start to reverse the effects of aging quite substantially.
That's
and by
impressive
we,
if we
you mean
rich
can,
people.
Those that can afford
no,
it
yes.
yeah. we will
yeah
just
we'll
us
live.
Three
Hollywood
we
stars will
now?
Look eternally 20 years old. The rest of us will be haggard, She's like, I love the latest rom-com by Jessica Alba, still going strong.
Everything goes round in circles, and we are literally on our way back to the feudal era, where you have the rich and landed gentry that have all the stuff and they run all the world, and then we're just happy to have grain and fresh water to drink. You know, like,
it's healthy, it's organic, it's 50% off, it's rat meal. Here we go. It's good for you nowadays. That's how it's marketed.
Well, we genetically modified rats to eat all the garbage, and it turns it into healthy, clean meat that we then eat on the rat.
We just eat the rats.
You can just see it really like
eating the garbage. Yeah. I mean, well, you've already seen that video of all the pigs eating plastic.
Plastic, yeah.
It's happening already, just with different animals.
Yeah.
It's very easy to slip into dystopic futures because that is the reality we're in right now. However, let me pose some hypotheticals for you so that we can...
Okay. Huh? Have you been eating rats?
He has been eating rats.
Let's move on from that.
I saw him do it. He didn't even cook it. Fur and all.
Get back here! It's fresher when they're still moving. Anyway, our patrons have kindly chosen, of three available choices, they've chosen their favorite top two. So essentially every week they're not really picking the one, they're picking one not to be included, really.
They're cancelling it out,
if anything,
this one's
it's
shit,
version of choice
is what they're saying.
So anyway, this is the one that they voted for most, so we'll talk about it first. What is it, Alex Smith?
If you could choose a rat to eat, which rat would it be? No.
That's
the king,
not the one.
The rat king.
The king of the rats,
no comment,
would be my meal. If you
the
could
king
pick
of
a,
rats.
If you could pick a topic to have an in-depth documentary made, what topic would you pick? Aliens.
Aliens. But there's the thing is, like, this is an interesting question. Because obviously,
specify.
Like, there's, we'll probably trip up in the fact that these probably exist. Anything we come up with might already exist.
What, these documentaries?
Yeah, so surely we need to find something that's like obscure as anything. If you say aliens, there's like
who's the guy
loads
that
of aliens
like this and talks about the moon.
Brian
I guess
Cox. I think it's Brian Cox.
Brian Cox
Brian
did actually
Cox
do an
says
episode
that there's no aliens.
On aliens.
On aliens. He did did an episode on aliens in his like series that he released like 10 years ago or whatever, the one that like made him quite famous, where he's talking all about the universe and stuff. Not the new one where he blows the BBC's travel budget in as few episodes as possible. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I think I have. Like, I've seen the parody of it.
He's just like walking around on really hot, like it's like I watched a bit of it and I was like, Jesus Christ, like every other scene he's like in a completely
now I'm
different
in the
continent.
Desert, in the Sahara.
Is he trying to compete with Cosmos or something?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a good point, Ross. Something that like you don't normally see a lot of information about. I guess like it's a great question, but I feel like I need to spend time thinking. Have you guys got any good ideas?
I don't know. I feel like I'd want it's almost like just a fly-in-the-wall documentary of what the fuck is going on in our governments. Because I feel like they don't really tell you everything. Not that they would be honest about it, and I'm sure it would be manipulated, but like, I don't know if that exists, if there's, you know, a camera behind Johnson just following his day-to-day and actually what kind of fucking shit they do on a day-to-day basis. Just, I mean, I imagine it would be like, what's that TV series?
The one with...
It's gone off my
The thick of it. Just like that.
I'd imagine it would be like that. And that's obviously how that's staged in its style of, you know, kind of documentary-esque, kind of fly on the wall, like shit's hitting the fan every single day. I would find
that
quite interesting. Like the Black Mirror episode where he gets has to fuck a pig.
The pig.
To release the princess. I don't know. I think that would be interesting, but also, I think that with any documentary, there's always a risk of it being manipulated. Like that, what I watched
that's
recently,
the
F1 Drive to Survive, whereas that is literally made to be entertainment. It's not necessarily all fact, and obviously they manufacture some of the rivalries in a way that like the edit's done, and I don't know. I mean, we studied documentaries, didn't we, Trot? And like, that's basically what they encourage you to do. They encourage you to create a narrative out of fuck all, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Forge it out of nothing.
Like, God, we worked hard trying to get that Doug Cooper documentary of the Gnarly Man who...
Gnarly Man.
He just enjoys kayaking. And we just had to eke every kind of aspect of his personal life and kind of like pull it out.
Find a real sob story in here.
Find a sob story, essentially.
It's like... Yeah, he's growing with a spine problem. Oh, yeah, what we'll was use that? That? Okay, let's record more of that. Spine problem. Oh, you didn't get as tall as you wanted to be.
Yeah.
Nice. Does that affect your kayaking? Did you almost die because of it?
Yeah. You were.
That's basically
And when you interviewed him, you were just like that.
As soon as you find that out as a documentary maker, you fucking weasel in on that and you forget about the grander picture and it's like, I can tell a story here with drama in it rather than the facts, which might be quite boring in reality. It's like, yeah, I quite like kayaking now and again.
Here's a new few quite shots fun. And kayaking. Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, we recreated like a dramatic scene and
it reminds me of
talks
these,
about how he drowned.
Like Netflix documentaries, of which there are a million now. After the Tiger King success one, they just tried to do a bunch of like, I started watching one, it was called like Death Among the Mormons or something like that. And it was about in like the early 90s in Utah, there was some like Mormon artifacts being shuffled about, and then there was a car bomb, and it was pretty dramatic, but like it definitely became just a really extended series of, you know, like they, you know how they just add pad and filler constantly, and it's just but a really good one that I've seen recently is about dolphins, filming dolphins on the Disney Channel.
Okay.
On Disney Plus or whatever, they're like, it shows how
they're pretty horny things.
They film dolphins. It looks so fun. They get to use like jet skis, drones, and diving equipment just to film dolphins all the time, and that looks insane. And then also the fantastic fungi.
Oh yeah. We talked about that
on Netflix. That was a really good documentary as well. Really enjoyed that. What would you choose though? So I like the political one's really good. I think that'd be really helpful because I don't think enough people realize how fucked up our government is. Like right now, the UK's government has never been this corrupt, this like it's just
blatantly
insane.
Polarizing.
Polarizing, exactly.
But I wonder if, like, again, like I said with the Drive to Survive thing, that it would just be then like you then feel sorry for Boris Johnson because that's the story they've lent into, and then you realize the funding's probably, you know, come from them anyway, and it's just like I don't know. I feel like
you think it might be used as a propaganda tool.
Yeah, I think so. Because obviously, like it's all, the way you relate to people in that F1 documentary is actually like, well, you know, I actually it's on series 4 now.
Mm-hmm.
First series, I actually really liked Christian Horner, for example. I thought, you know, what they were doing was really good. I was kind of like more Red Bull than anything. Mm-hmm. By series 4, I fucking hate the guy. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's strange how they manipulate these stories, and obviously, all you see is the bits they want you to see. And so I feel like that might be even more controversial, but I still want to see. I just want a camera in the fucking office and I want to be able
like
to see
how their day to day goes.
Yeah
But I guess this kind of treads conspiracy waters when you start like, I can't believe anything I see.
Yeah,
if it's a documentary, like, how do I know it's all credible and that it's not being manipulated in front of my eyes and that I've been told something else?
Yeah,
and well, that made me think about Bus Simulator.
Bus Simulator,
Bus Simulator.
So I was thinking of the same thing, but a different context of like, who made Bus Simulator? Do they really know how a bus driver works?
Right, okay.
And like, all the nuance of like, is that keypad there like the official? Is that the way they actually do routing?
Right.
And is that like people that develop games, is there any sort of credibility behind like the simulator games? Flight Sim, obviously, you can watch all the documentaries and stuff and like, we've modeled this on a real blah, blah. But we could be being deceived of like, that's not how a tractor works in Farming Sim at all. And that's not how farming works in any sort of
first-hand experience is obviously very,
it's a case of research, surely, as well. And also, do you mean you want to see a documentary of like a developer's starting from scratch to creating
maybe
the actual end product, and then how realistic
it was just
that
a
is.
Similar thought process of like, I don't fully know for a fact because I have no first-hand experience that I'm being told that this is the most accurate like racing sim possible, and this is the most detailed recreation of a Lamborghini Huracan.
Yeah,
I've never been in one, but they could be deceiving me in some way. Or like Lamborghini could have paid that developer to be like, can you crank up the horsepower or like the tuning or the not that it matters in the grand scheme of things, but if it happens in games like that, documentaries, which are more important, you could argue about, you know, blowing open the doors of the government, not physically, but like expose style.
Yeah. I've seen some documentaries on like Call of Duty where they go out and literally like film all the guns in action and stuff. Whether that's actually where how it performs and how it actually finally sounds in the end thing, I don't know. But they do try to do research in that regard. But I think that's more of a design element rather than a is it going to sound and feel exactly the same in game? It never does in Call of Duty, really. But
Here's
so much you can do, I guess.
Here's a token anecdote in the chat. Okay. I'm a game dev animator. I got to spend a week with ex special forces to accurately take references of things like cover, take fire, applying first aid, all this sort of stuff. That's I do. Great. I mean, quickly going back to what you're saying, Troy, it's about reasonable doubt, isn't it? It's about, this is the line, reasonable doubt. And I know that's difficult to sum up in a sentence as to what reasonable is, but like, yeah, you're right. You could doubt everything. You could doubt everything you see. You could doubt your way of interpreting the world. You could doubt that you see all of the colors that everybody else sees. You could do all of these things, but it's just about like what reasonably would happen and what reasonably allows you to live a happy life. I think that's something people have really taken doubting to an extreme, and I understand why, like especially with technologies like deepfakes and stuff making things more difficult to see. I think the most reasonable way to act is investigate, try and find trusted sources, and also don't have such extreme reactions to things so that if you do fall victim to something or fall prey to something, your reaction isn't so extreme that it causes harm. You know, like, as in, I think that it's okay to be wrong, or it's okay to not understand something or be skeptical, but don't like build your entire, you know, like anti-vax movements, like anti-lockdown movements, like lots and lots of different movements that have happened in the last five or so years. Just don't be that extreme. Calm the fuck down, you know, like be rational, be reasonable, talk about these things, and that's gonna give us a lot better outcomes in general, I think, than all these people taking all this shit into their own hands and just becoming,
but what if that comes down to
raging madmen,
a person's belief system and how willing they are to believe that, for example, you know, vaccines are bad for you without any real knowledge, or a couple of articles that may not be fully factually accurate, and if they their belief is strong enough in that, then they'll go out and take action and start persuading other people, I guess.
And that by and large is usually down to stuff like socioeconomic factors affecting how they've learned to learn, for example. You know, like we don't often study how to act, like in school and, you know, things like that, how to actually proof things, how to act reasonably, how to acquire knowledge. You know, like there's quite a lot in philosophy and stuff, like sort of rational versus empirical knowledge acquisition, like the scientific method is another thing. You know, like these are methods for acquiring and testing ideas, but if you have massive swathes of people who are highly influenceable or perhaps don't have those tools available to them to test knowledge, then you're going to get massive results like this. And then these huge movements are results of socioeconomic inequality, ultimately, of people not being given access to, well, being given access to the massive thing that is the internet, this overwhelming thing that we've talked about before, just this huge repository of stuff, and not really having the tools to deal with it. I mean, we're all part of that, you know. Like, I've been into this a million times before, but you know, same with social media and how it affects your mental health. Like, we need more tools to deal with this stuff, and hopefully we'll get there. But for the time being, just try and be reasonable. Just try and not to act in too much of an extreme way, because we have no idea half the time, and I don't know how to drive a bus. I think I could give it a go. But
have you ever actually really been in a bus?
No, I haven't. We don't fully know. Actually haven't been in a bus for about... The last time I was in a bus was when we were at an airport, probably. One of those ones that takes you to and from.
Yeah,
the...
Don't really travel on a bus
very recently.
Often.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with scooters around. You're just going to hop on one of those bad boys. That's how you get around there.
And you can have your mate and your other mate on there,
too. Just pack it up. Pack it all on.
You know what they're doing, though? You've got to have a bloody driving license to get on one of those scooters.
You do now.
The Voi ones in Bristol, anyway. You have to have a driving license, so that's why people double up on them. Ridiculous. A driving license. For a scooter.
Well, it's more of a case of, I think, they want you to know the rules of the road. Right.
Well, yeah, but.
Because they're on the road.
You don't need a driving license to operate a bicycle.
No, you don't.
It's just the same.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something to do with. Maybe it can go from 0 to 15.
Yeah, stupid, though, isn't it?
I mean, bikes are about the same speed, if not faster.
Yeah. It's absolutely it's dumb. But you know, so's private scooter companies being given licenses to use them whilst using your own scooter in a town is illegal, and you can be.
Let's do a documentary on that.
That's.
I'd love to do a documentary.
Yeah, I'd like
on why,
a documentary on that.
Why Bristol Council are so fucking stupid. Bicycle lane. Oh, right. So the road next to me has been closed for 6 months because they're installing another bicycle lane that nobody's going to use properly. And every cyclist is just going to have to slow down for all the pedestrians that are walking on it. What a waste of fucking time and money. Anyway.
Now, for context, Alex Smith has had COVID for the past couple of weeks, so he's been slowly going insane.
Getting angrier and angrier inside.
Are you free of COVID yet?
I'm not free of its effects, but I'm not testing positive anymore, which is good news.
That's good.
Last 2 days, I've returned 2 negative lateral flow tests. But I'm very low energy, still trying not to... sleeping is hard. That's what's really annoying. Like, I'll be suddenly really tired and then have a really nice, like, 2-hour nap. And then when it comes time to go to bed in the evening, it'll just be like, I'm exhausted. I can't stop staring at the ceiling, you know.
That sucks.
But yeah, no, it's been shitty. It's been really shitty, actually. It's surprisingly So I tested positive last Wednesday, and yeah, I'd say I'm about 85% of what I was before in terms of feeling. I mean I haven't tried exercising yet, and I'm slightly worried about that because I've noticed going down to like the bins and stuff to chuck stuff out, coming back up, I'm out of breath pretty quick, and I'm like, that's not fun.
Crazy.
But luckily it hasn't affected my lungs too much.
Did it make your balls shrivel, like someone else said?
Definitely.
Smaller.
I can't believe I could get any more impotent, but it's found a way. But no, get your vaccinations, everybody, because it's not fun. And
well, you did.
Even with 3.
Even with 3. Yeah, I had that. So that's been a fun week for me.
Somehow we all avoided it. I don't know how.
I don't know how.
Not enough tonguing.
We
weren't tonguing enough. Not enough top lip frenzies.
Yeah.
More of that. Yeah, and more sneezing into each other's mouths next time, I think.
Yes.
In for a penny.
Targeted sneezing.
Pound.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been fine. My lizard's woken up now. That was, you know, the most eventful thing to happen to me all week was the lizard woke up the day I got COVID.
And you got to try out the new Steam Deck,
which I couldn't really get to work. But Trot's got
his today.
Working.
So that's nice, isn't it?
I do have it, yes.
New product, new tech, interesting stuff.
It's a great piece of kit. The software is all over the place right now, is all I would say. But hardware-wise, very cool.
Here it is.
There it is. If you're watching this podcast on video, because John is holding it up.
I'm showing it. Look,
it
I can
like it
into it. Simply just Google it.
Nintendo Switch.
That's
it's big.
Joystick sounds.
That's the joystick sound. There you go. Look at that.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
There we go. Lovely.
Yeah.
Technology. Gadgets. I do love gadgets.
That's the Steam Deck.
I love new stuff. But
yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it out. Ultimately, it's a thing that I'm going to have to play with, and ultimately it's a PC that's based on Linux, so, and it's made by Valve, who their stuff in the past has been buggy, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, hold the fort for a second, you two, while I fix your faces.
My faces need to be fixed.
Oh,
I thought it'd never happen. I thought we had to wait 20 years for the age reversal thing. Is that what he's working on, I'm guessing?
I think it's something to do with rubbing your own ejaculate into your skin.
Oh, right, okay.
I mean, you double check that, obviously. Trust but verify.
Okay. I'm already using hemorrhoid cream on the face, so like, is that... and should I combine the two? Or?
Well, I used the hemorrhoid cream for a while, but then my eyes started to heal over.
Oh, they started to seal over the eyelids.
Yeah. So that was quite painful.
That is a fear
of
mine. Of
cutting my eyes back open again. But the ejaculate on the cheeks definitely will keep the aging at bay.
Some people do that. You say that. Yeah. I think we've had funny news stories before in the past where they have literally been about rubbing sperm on your skin for a better look. Nice glow.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Yeah.
Where that sperm comes from, they don't explain.
I've been doing that unknowingly for years.
There literally was an article where a woman was saying how great it was for her skin, but it had to be applied fresh, she said. So there's that.
Reasonable doubt.
It has to be done.
Smith, have reasonable doubt.
Don't get emotionally invested in that.
Stupid.
You're stupid.
There's nothing wrong. Just look down. Just look down when it's happening.
It's your own advice.
Stupid. No, I mean, I distrust stupid things, Trot. Like, the earth is not round.
Thank you.
I prefer all of the documentaries that Greg's in. I want to go inside the factories.
Those aren't documentaries.
They are documentaries. Yeah. Like that's the other thing we learned is, I think even something as simple as The One Show is a documentary. Anything that kind of like documents real life in any kind of
that
way.
That isn't a news show, basically.
Yeah. Right. So, well, Greg is a documentarian of sorts. He's the Louis Theroux of pork pies. How do they make them? Oh, I don't know. This machine's crazy. It's blowing air.
What?
Are you telling me? Have you ever seen any Ian Curtis documentaries?
Adam Curtis. Those are some really interesting. I love the music he uses. I think he's got like a really interesting music selection, which kind of really creates an interesting mood.
The clips he uses are just like, I don't know how he must have a team of researchers just scouring this stuff.
Hmm. Very interesting documentary. I think they're on BBC iPlayer if anyone's interested in checking
them
out. But some of them are quite trippy and very.
Yeah.
There's a lot of doom, like an impending feeling of doom.
Yeah.
It's an interesting watch, but.
Terrifying.
Yeah, I liked them.
Yeah.
His first name's
Kevin, actually, as well. I mean, he goes by Adam Curtis, but his first name's Kevin.
You're
right. There is a real sort of sinister element to a lot of his documentaries. Yeah. Also, sometimes they're so dense that I kind of feel like I'm not learning anything because I'm desperately trying to process what he's just said.
Yeah.
But very interesting. That for me is like a very sort of extreme example of a documentary style, I suppose.
He is the voice you'd expect to hear on an old-time radio as well.
Yeah.
So it's very kind of like jarring. I was like, is this made this year? It was. Oh, okay. But like, there's this style about them that's almost quite trippy in some vibe.
You've got a combo of Greg Wallace and Adam Curtis documentaries.
Yeah.
Like, if you combo them, then you're going to come away feeling nourished, you know.
Imagine Greg's voice over the top of that imagery.
Yeah. Oh, Ross Kemp documentaries as well. I mean, let's not forget Ross Kemp on Gangs.
Documentarian, famous documentarian, EastEnders star.
EastEnders star Ross Kemp goes into various dangerous environments.
I like those ones as well.
Does he still make stuff?
I think
Danny
he is. Yeah,
Dangerous Men.
Ross Kemp was making stuff about the coronavirus when that happened. He was straight in there. I wonder if he's doing anything on the war situation. I don't know if he's doing anything major. I don't know if he's doing gang stuff still. Maybe, but that stuff was interesting as well.
And prison stuff.
I think the latest Louis Theroux stuff's been a bit meh, but then I don't know if that's time pressures because he literally rushed to do it straight after lockdown finished. I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the latest three-parter.
I like the first one, and then the other two were a bit like
okay.
Dave's weren't that interesting.
Yeah, I just didn't think he got much out of them.
No. Danny Dyer, of course, did some serious stuff. Danny Dyer's Deadliest Men, 2008 documentary. Danny Dyer sits down with serious hard men, including gangsters, former terrorists, and elite special forces, to discover how they reconcile their past exploits with their current lives as reformed characters. Danny Dyer, of course, actor.
Presenter
not
of...
famous for being hard, but somehow has formed a persona around...
He's in the hard films.
Oh, it's just rough. You know, there's hard, and then there's an actor who looks rough. But I mean, you know, Ross Kemp was an actor, and he seemed pretty hard in that incident where he almost got shot. So fair enough.
Yeah, well, they.
I want to see Danny Dyer prove himself, like Ross Kemp proved himself. That's what I'm saying. I reckon Danny Dyer and Ross Kemp should fight. And
right. Okay, you
out.
Want to see them fight? That's interesting.
We know Danny would die.
That's why he's got a last name, Dyer.
Yeah.
But he's too busy presenting the game show The Wall right now. Where I think balls drop down a wall filled with pins into a slot which gives
I'm
it a
so
prize.
An arcade game made into a TV show.
Terrestrial
another one.
TV.
I mean, that's yeah, not, I, yeah, I, even I wouldn't go back to TV to watch that, unfortunately, no.
No, but I've noticed some people have taken back to TV, like removing that control that they had, that overwhelming, like, I've got so much in my library. Mm. I just want a channel which shows me stuff and I don't pick. Some people have that as, like, background, which I can understand.
Sometimes it's nice to have something in background if you're, like, I don't know, playing a game that's kind of grindy, like Call of Duty. Sometimes I just have something on or maybe an MMO.
I don't play any grindy games.
But... yeah, I don't know. I mean, when that comes on, I do switch off. I change channel quite quickly because...
You don't like The Wall with Danny Dyer?
No. I wanted to bring back... what's the one with Noel Edmonds? The box? The
Gunge Tank?
Fucking hell.
Deal
What? His House Party?
Deal or
oh my
no
God.
Deal.
Deal or No Deal, yeah, that's the one.
Well, so the Gunge Tank...
I went way too far back. I
would, yeah, get your own back. The Gunge Tank is get your own back. I don't think there was Gunge
Well, there was Gunge in...
Noel
there was
Edmonds
Mr. Blobby in...
Noel's
in
House Party.
Yeah. House Party.
Gunge.
Yeah.
That's old Gunge though. Tank.
You did. They all had Gunge Tanks.
I preferred
right.
the money, like... chamber where they were inside this case which blew up all the money. I feel like I still really do want to create one of those in our warehouse at some point. I'm not sure why, but maybe we can create
a game
show.
We
can use the
heater.
Blower, yeah, or the jet heater. Well, I don't know about the heater. Maybe combine the two. Blow it up or get loads of stuff up and then we can start just each of us
just
come up with a tactic
there.
That we can gather as much stuff as possible. And then bam.
All right. Yeah, sounds
in.
Good.
But
it has to be sharp. Objects.
Oh God! Okay.
Sharp
what
implements.
Razor blades?
Like razor
flicking
blades.
Up.
How many razor blades can you catch in this?
Okay.
Ah! Got three.
Most of them are in my body.
Does the one in my forehead count?
Did you guys know that Kurt Cobain went on Noel's House Party?
What? Was it like a music guest or
really?
As in like just performing?
Yeah, like a music guest, I think.
Okay.
But
really?
I just googled
wow.
Gunge and stuff, and I was like, "That's Kurt Cobain."
You
yeah.
Typed in grunge accidentally.
I guess they were around in like the 90s.
Yeah.
Maybe did you just mistype grunge?
No, I could have done. No, grunge. No. I put gunge. But that's a good point. No, there's a photo of him next to Mr. Blobby.
That's something you wouldn't
hell?
Expect to see is Nirvana and Mr. Blobby together.
I think it's, yeah.
Or was
yeah.
it just him on his own?
So I mean, imagine if Kurt was there, the rest of Nirvana was there. I mean, Dave Grohl, apart from developing a highly successful second band, I don't know whether they were doing anything else at that time.
No, probably not.
Here you go. I'd put it in Just Hats. It's a photo of,
there you go, you can see.
Bizarrely, Dave Grohl with a handgun smoking a cigarette next to Mr. Blobby.
Okay.
I feel like, that. Did he not just get a Mr. Blobby outfit or something? Or I don't know.
Do you think so? Do you think that's actually what happens? They got
they staged it. It's
Kurt
staged.
Cobain went, can we get a Mr. Blobby outfit? And they're like, what do you mean to go on Noel's House Party? No. I want a Mr. Blobby
just
outfit for
thing.
No other reason.
I'm not going to travel.
Yeah, no.
Reasonable
good point,
doubt.
No, Trot.
I think that's
trust
reasonable
verify,
doubt.
Trust but verify. Yeah.
Okay,
also,
yeah,
handguns were made illegal in the UK in 1997, so it could be that was just a real handgun that he took on Noel's
97?
House Party. Yeah.
They weren't illegal before.
That late?
I thought it was... Yeah, okay.
No.
There he is.
People just had handguns. You could just buy them
Not willy-nilly. Still needed a firearm.
You couldn't buy them willy-nilly.
I know that was the word you were going for. No, yeah. Not willy-nilly. But you still need a firearms license. But yeah, sure. Essentially,
okay.
They were banned in 1997 because, you know, they're pretty dangerous and pretty easy to hide. There are a couple of states in the US now that have legalized, I think, I want to say Ohio. It might have been Idaho. I don't know. Some arrangement of four letters that sounds similar.
Idaho.
They've legalized the concealed carry of handguns without a permit. So you can go into a gun shop. I mean, there might still be like the 3-day limit, but if you go to a gun fair, then you can buy them there. So you could buy a gun and just hide it on you. I mean, legit, I don't want to go to states like that. Like, I don't want to go to places where people can just buy and own and conceal handguns. It just feels so fucking dangerous. There are too many idiots
in
the world.
We need a fly on the wall documentary of the states, just figuring out why
there are
that
some
came to it,
gun
why that law has been pushed.
And the, thing is,
the Republican politician from that area was coming up for re-election in the midterms, and so they decided to push through something like this in order to get all the gun nuts on board. It's as simple as that, I think. Anyway, sorry, what were you going to say, Ross?
No, I think there's quite a few documentaries about gun laws in the states, and obviously stuff like Bowling for Columbine. It's quite an interesting take on how gun laws didn't really change too much after that. I mean, I think there were some changes. It's more just, I don't know if it did much after that. Because I know he did another second documentary, didn't he, after about the same thing.
Yeah.
So there were more and more mass shootings.
Bowling for Soup, right?
It was Bowling for Soup, the pop punk band, famous for like one song. Was it Bowling for Soup?
Yeah, the message didn't work in band format, did it?
Bowling for Soup.
Did get the point across?
The gun documentary.
Bowling for Soup.
Yeah, I know the one.
I saw them live, and I've forgotten all their songs.
Did you really? Yeah. You saw Bowling for Soup live? Where was that?
Yeah.
At like,
it was a really old download.
Oh, okay.
O2. Donington.
Shit.
It was at Donington.
There is a second hypothetical here.
There is. Throw it out there. What's...
It says, if you could see an invisible measuring scale above everybody's heads, what would you want that scale to show? And before we start talking about this, when I glanced over it earlier, I literally thought, likelihood for immediate violence would be quite a useful one. You know, like, as in...
Like, how dangerous are they? A danger meter?
Literally, danger like level. A threat level. Yeah, yeah. So, like, level, okay. Because... Ultimately, I don't really give a shit what other people do around me, and I don't need any more information on them. So the only thing that would really affect me is how likely I am to get into an altercation or for my life to be threatened. So I guess that would be quite a useful scale.
Would a trust meter cover that ground as well, do you think?
Yeah.
If it was literally how trustworthy someone was. I don't know if that really covers how violent they are. Like, yeah, it's like you're trustworthy, but
this guy's definitely going to fuck
shit
up.
In what degree? But like, I don't know. I think trust is quite an important thing. Like, if you're, you know, in a public place and you're like, oh, this person's really trustworthy, can you just hold my dog a second while I grab a, you know, can of milk or whatever? Like, that's a nice. That would be nice to know on the fly that you can trust someone. But I don't know if that covers violence.
I'd have. Above all that, danger, trustworthiness, clock counter. How many times someone's clocked my cock as a counter above their head?
Nice.
So they've looked at your genitalia.
Any glances in my direction? Oh, three, and they've just walked past.
Oh, okay. Does it just? Are you limiting it to the cock, or just in general? Or you've got like a?
And why would
have they done a full body check?
What information is that giving
I don't need
you?
To disclose why. Have you got a measuring scale that shows my inner thoughts?
You can't see your cock through your trousers, though. Like, it's certainly not big enough.
Clock count, then.
Okay. How many times they look down at your crotch? I mean, it's quite a neutral place to look if you're...
And also just like...
Short? I'm short.
Is there a duration?
Between my eyes and my dick.
Does it have a duration on there as well? Or is it just a case of they've glanced it briefly because they were looking elsewhere past you? But you happen to walk past their gaze, or were they staring in it for an extended period of time, and you need to either pull your fly back up or pull it back down? I don't know.
It's
maybe you want them watching.
A multifaceted, useful, versatile stat, I think.
Cock,
to have
clock
counter,
nice.
Or cock clocker.
Yeah.
Are you walking around with your penis out? That's the real question, because I think you're going to get a lot.
I know,
that's going to go
because
up.
The counters would be going crazy.
Maybe that's it. You're just worried your cock's out, and you're worried that the moment you start seeing numbers appearing above people's heads, you're like, oh, shit. Oh, fuck, not again.
Thank God for this scale above everyone's heads, because I wouldn't know otherwise. Yeah. Whereas Smith's there, no threat, no threats detected around.
Yeah, we're all together.
I'm telling you.
We're all together. They're trustworthy. Wouldn't trust that one. Oh, they're very violent. Anyway, oh, don't worry then. Have they anyone looked at your cock, mate?
Going up.
Yeah.
Huh?
I think that's all I need to worry about, really, because that's the only thing I really worry about in public. It's like...
My one, right?
Yeah, how many times a person's looked at my crotch, and I don't want any detail as to why they have, simply the number of times they've done it. That, to me, is the data that I need.
It's an icebreaker, isn't it, really?
Hello, sir. I notice you've looked at my crotch 18 times in the last 30 seconds. What's occurring?
Don't ask how I know.
I've got an incredible power. I was given the ability to see one piece of information above a person's head. That piece of information happens to be the number of times it looked at my penis. Can I help you?
The danger thing is important, though. You're right. Depends. About, I mean,
like, I don't know, relative likelihood that they will be your friend. Or is that trustworthiness?
Compatibility.
I don't know. Compatibility. Yeah, I guess that's quite a good meter.
Empathy scale. How nice they are. Nice scale. But it's all subjective. Apart from, you know, I feel like mine's pretty.
Yeah.
Are they going to do violence? Yes or no? Just I'm sat in a cinema.
Do you steer clear? Yeah.
Sat in a cinema every so often, my mind wanders, and I'm like, fucking hell, if it kicks off in here, how am I going to get out of this cinema? You know, that's what the kind of things that go through my head, because ultimately, that's the only bit of information.
Is it going to make you more paranoid?
No, less paranoid. Like,
he would be, well, you'd have to check. If there's any point
why
in that.
Why does it make it better, the fact you've walked past a couple of violent psychopaths and haven't noticed? I'd rather be like, I'm staying the fuck away from
them. Ignorance.
Well, it's not really blissful. It's dangerous. Would
you, I guess it'd be good if you were in the police force, because then then
holy shit,
yeah,
OP.
It would be a superpower.
You need to get nerfed. Yeah, criminal.
Yeah, it'd be very useful.
There, right there.
Yeah, very useful. How evil they are.
How many kills they've had?
How many
above
kills?
Their heads? Yeah,
like a star system in GTA. Yeah. 5-star. Oh shit!
Kills counter guns. Above their head. Oh, they've killed three people. Three. That one. He's killed
but
three
what if
people.
One above your own head, and you don't even realize you've killed somebody. Like, say, for example, you got COVID and don't realize, and then accidentally gave it to somebody, and then they die. Have you killed them?
I mean,
how's this metric?
Again, you could say the same metric for maybe, I guess, the emissions from your car. What if they've inadvertently caused cancer or something?
Yeah.
Or,
inappropriately
I don't know.
Disposing of a battery.
Yeah, or, you know, dropping... Maybe you dropped a banana skin and someone slipped and cracked their head, like, 10 hours later. That was your
imagine
skin.
That. Imagine
that was your
finding
skin, buddy.
Out you've killed someone inadvertently like that.
Yeah.
You've almost
that'd
certainly had
crazy.
An effect on it, I imagine. Especially being
the butterfly
Western.
Effect.
We use, like, something like 4 times more resources than our sort of less developed counterparts. Americans use 8 times as many resources.
Wowzers.
Americans are the highest consumption per capita in the world. Slow down.
America number one again.
How
number
am I
one.
An efficient car? How am I getting a car with a smaller engine?
Maybe, yeah.
Sorry to our American listeners. We know that you're probably more conscientious than the average, but we like taking those big stats and dumping hard on your country. Sorry.
Also, you don't have to listen to us or take what we take as fact or indeed any representation of how you live your life, you know? It's freedom of speech, I suppose, and you don't have to be... I mean, fuck, who the hell am I? Who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I to tell
goodbye
you?
Goodbye, gun.
Our fuel is always going to cost more than your fuel. That's what we know.
Yeah.
Regardless. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be more expensive for fuel here.
I think you can learn a lot about someone and extrapolate so much data from the cock.
Oh, the cock clocking. Okay.
There's data to extrapolate, yeah, but I wouldn't say, like, the richest form.
I could get threat level from that, I reckon. And... compatibility.
Okay.
Chris Trott, the Sperminator.
What if you have one where they're just it just says whether they're attracted to you or not?
Just read the room. Yeah.
I think just cut the corners and go straight for the cock clocker.
There's a sweet little old lady just looking your way. She's trying to do the cock clocker, but you've changed it. It says there's attraction on there. Bam, it's on like 100%.
Yeah.
It's off the scale.
Yeah.
I don't need a gauge to know that that's always at 100%, Russ.
Oh, okay.
Old ladies.
Attractiveness removed.
Horny old ladies.
Fuck
off, grandma.
You could mitigate having a danger level
Yeah.
By having an attractive level instead, because if they're attracted to you, they're less likely to hurt you.
Well, there's quite a few serial killers that would probably buck that trend.
Who's the guy who killed John Lennon? Was he a fan of him?
Yeah.
He was a fan.
Not necessarily attracted, but form of attraction. One
to one. Maybe it's not one to one.
It might not be one to one. I mean,
this is why I'll get a team of scientists to really extrapolate my.
Well, it just comes down to how well you can argue your point, I suppose. But yours is funnier than mine, so there's the value in it for our listeners.
Okay.
Speaking of value, you too can contribute to this podcast at patreon.com/hatchat.
Value.
Hat Films. Fuck.
Hat Films.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Well, thanks to those people, because they chose those two hilarious hypotheticals. Thanks for that.
Well, they weren't hilarious until I brought in the cock clocker, which I thought was a real hoot.
Exactly.
Before then, we had quite meaningful, deep discussion.
It wasn't deep. I think just trusting someone is kind of a good basis.
The other question as well.
I'd argue we've changed the world today, Ross.
I think we have.
I think we've wrecked the world to right.
We did it. Bit of trust.
Distrust. I mean, is there anything else we need to talk about today? Man jailed for attacking a stranger with a seagull, I see here.
Oh, did you see that one? That was one of the first ones. Again, I was struggling to find funny news. It's hard to find funny news. But there is weird news and strange news. such as this one, man jailed for attacking a stranger with a seagull. Actually, fun story. How do you pick up a seagull?
Because you could, like, put your hands around its wings from behind.
I tried to do that. There was a seagull on my balcony. Right, and it was just face slamming the glass. Like, there's a glass panel where it was trying to get through.
Face slamming.
It was like kind of just pecking it, and then it just kept kind of like
pecking
it. Just ramming its head to the side, trying to get through the glass because it thought that clearly clean, very clean glass.
Yeah.
But it wasn't backing off, and so I was like, "Well, do I grab it?" And every time I went to grab it, its wings expanded, and like they're quite like
threatening.
Well, it's just it's a very flappy creature.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, I don't want to hurt its wings by like grabbing it too hard or pinching it or like then getting pecked to shit. So like, I mean, after a little bit of time, I managed to shoo it around and give it a bit of a runway because it was literally just backed itself into a corner, just desperately pecking and trying to push through a glass pane.
That sounds pretty funny. You should have filmed it on your phone.
I did film it.
Oh,
so now I do have footage of it.
In a schlog?
Maybe. It's mainly just me. I mean,
actually, it doxes
me a little bit, unfortunately.
A towel would work as well. Chuck a towel over.
A towel, okay. I was thinking try a towel.
Oven mitts.
I'll show you this footage again. I don't know if it's doxy. I mean, this one isn't, but it's literally just a bird on my balcony.
Your dick.
I'm going to triangulate exactly where your balcony is.
In focus?
Pretty low, not in focus. Oh, yeah, I see him.
But there he is. He's there. That's when he had a bit of run up. You can't really see it very clearly on there.
They're big boys, aren't they?
But they're big. They are. And it's just like, before it got to that point in the balcony, it was just face slamming for ages. It really was persistent. And Murphy was going nuts. Yeah. So I had to prevent him. Because I think he would have gone out there and he would have either rushed to attack. I don't know if he would have attacked it. I think he would have been more curious and backed off out of fear. When he sees bugs, he kind of just sniffs them and then it kind of sits down. And watches them.
Well, it must be sniffing you all the time.
Anyway, this guy, this back to the actual the seagull story. What the fuck? Started. Here he is. It hasn't been a good week for seagulls. First one was killed by a monkey that plucked it from the air at Chester Zoo, and now one has been used to cause GBH. So
grievous bodily harm.
Paul picked up a seagull and threw it at a stranger before he launched a vicious attack, kicking and punching him. The assault was so violent he left his victim with a broken jaw. He threw a seagull at someone and then attacked them. That's insane.
What the hell?
How did he pick it up?
That's a great first salvo, though, isn't it? It's like
the first one is
follow it up.
The monkey one. There's video footage. Oh god, there's a video of the monkey at Chester Zoo grabbing a seagull and smashing it against a tree. Oh my god.
Monkeys are brutal. Like, I have a hilarious problem with monkeys, but like, man, they are violent.
Oh my god.
They'll tear things apart. Just eating her face.
It's the scene in The Lighthouse. I've mentioned The Lighthouse a few times. It's got Willem Dafoe.
Oh, is that black and white thing with Willem Dafoe?
Yeah, Willem Dafoe and Pattinson, Robert Pattinson. It is really, it's weird and it's funny. I think it's worth watching. There's some really creepy moments, some really funny moments. William Dafoe does a really good performance, but there's a point which isn't much of a spoiler. He grabs a seagull and he smashes it against a rock, and it's just so ridiculous that it's just like it really takes you back a bit. But yeah, this monkey's doing the exact same thing, and that guy literally just threw a seagull at someone, and that was the news, really. And he's just a violent person, so that's one to avoid.
Smith. Like,
speaking danger. Of Willem Dafoe,
yeah,
I watched the new Spider-Man film last night. It's finally available to buy on digital platforms. Nice. Yeah, it's really good.
I have to watch it.
Enjoyed it.
I didn't watch it at the time it came out.
Yeah, it's decent. It gets better as the film goes on as well. It was a bit like, in the beginning, I was a bit like, this is just another standard throwaway Avengers film.
How far is he going to get from home, really?
Yeah, I know, right? But no, I won't spoil it. But no, it got really good towards the end. There's some surprises and some fun stuff. It was a fun film.
Cool.
So, yeah, that was good.
I will watch it later.
Yeah. Yeah. Good shit.
Watch The Lighthouse first, though.
It's not going to happen.
Watch The Lighthouse.
Watch The Lighthouse. They
create a mix of, was it kerosene and honey, and call it Monkey Pump. And then Willem Dafoe was like, Monkey Pump! And then it's just really fucking very surreal. Very weird one. I watched it on Halloween. It was just so strange. But worth a watch.
I've got a cool fact about Willem Dafoe.
Okay, nice.
From the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
When he was Green Goblin in the Sam Raimi ones,
mm-hmm.
when he was Norman Osborn, the regular businessman, he had teeth implants.
Oh, really?
Like fake teeth. That looked really straight. And then when he was the Green Goblin, they told him to remove it and just use his regular teeth.
Because right. They're more demonic looking.
Looking. So imagine that. It's like, okay, we're going to put you in like nice teeth.
Use for your like normal ones now.
Regular. But can you be you for like the bad guy?
Come on, Fang Boy. That's the reason we got you. You look fucking freaky.
Some flaws. Yeah.
I mean, he does. He's got a pointy nose and he looks like a demon. So, yeah. Fun fact to lead you all off onto your week of exploration, journeying, finding yourself. You know, what metric would you have above someone's head if you had to choose? Have a think about it, you know? That's the kind of thought experiments we provide you on a weekly basis.
It's homework. And we need a report.
Clearly, our patrons love what we do because they continue to support us.
Patreon.com/hatfilms.
That's right. Thank you. And if you would like to maybe get something back, if Patreon doesn't feel like enough for you, there's a Fresh Merch store, freshmerch.fm, where we have some Hat Films aprons. If you'd like to get some Hat Films aprons, great for cooking, maybe great for covering a seagull if it's on your balcony and you want to get rid of it.
Also a Hat Films apron, mug available.
Or maybe a mug.
Massive.
It's big, isn't it?
Your big glove.
Freshmerch.fm.
How big it is.
Full of monkey pump, Ross.
Monkey pump, yeah. A bit of kerosene. 3 parts kerosene, 1 part honey.
You really shouldn't drink kerosene. It's methylated. Yeah,
but they were very desperate at the time. You'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Excellent. Well, thank you for listening and watching, and we'll see you next week for episode 91 as we get centennial in the last 9 episodes.
The run up to the big one.
It's going to be a big one. It's going to be insane. So yeah, enjoy that, and we'll see you next week, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Ta-da. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're sharing this property with several other people who are enjoying a holiday here. We'll be having dinner with them and make sweet love to their wives. so hot.